Mr. Huang Ming from China.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's my great honor to be here. I should say hello to everybody. This hello is from world number one solar crazy guy. This hello is also from this lovely girl, the girls and the boys of this and next generations. Why solar crazy guy? Why children and children? Let me tell the story about me and our children, me and American people. Thank you. My major was oil drilling equipment. I was a distinguished oil engineer in my oil ministry and Ministry of Geology in China. Maybe I would have a very, very good, bright future in that direction just before my daughter was born in 1986. When I hold this lovely baby, I felt guilty. So I have to do something new. That reminded me of wedding ceremony after honeymoon, when I took my wife to the hometown near Shanghai, where the Taihu Lake is. My childhood, remember, the memory of my childhood is clean water, deep to 2 meters, 3 meters, even we can see the fish, see the shrimp, see everything. But that day, 1985, I remember very badly, black lake, stinky water everywhere. Now you cannot see that. You cannot see. You can see that in Bangladesh, in India, in Indonesia, in Dhaka, in Bombay, New Delhi. When you fly over before landing, you can see every dirty pond, every water, all the river, dirty, black. So that reminded me of 30 years ago, China. So believe our Chinese, we can do everything. In the dirty world never been in that way. But another developing countries take the same road. So that made me really, really bad in this couple of years. So we have to do something. So I traveled all over the world to study solar, everything solar, and that gave me a lot. As a scientist and engineer, I became an inventor. Myself, I have 502 patents. My company with several thousands of patents, or maybe more than half of them world level or world most advanced technology. But from early stage of my career and my company, it was really hard, you know. About 1 billion people, maybe only thousands of them know solar. Nobody, no market, no brand, no products, no market. So we started all through the education, the roadshow, the public awareness, so-called 科普万里行, thousands of miles traveling, all cities to cities, town to towns, and even villages to villages. The result is 76% worldwide share by Chinese solar thermal industry, solar hot waters, solar water heaters. All over Chinese roof, in Dezhou, my city, with 6 million people, 90% of our roof covered with solar, including countryside, including every village. Thank you. Half of the population, means 0.6 to 7 billion people, use the solar. Almost all the population knows solar. When you ask an old lady without education, I want a solar, she will point one of our shops to sell solar heater. So that's the achievement in my first 20 years career. That experience made me a billionaire, made me worldwide famous guy. Made me the solar king of the world, which I got the name from Washington DC, 2000. I remembered I was invited the only private sector between the two U.S. U.S. government, the so-called Renewable Energy Summit, Sino-American or American-China Renewable Energy Summit. I gave a presentation to show the miracle, Chinese solar miracle. At that time, every year we produce 0.5 million solar heaters. So that's the world's biggest one. After the meeting, I was called Solar King. Why I changed from Solar King to Solar Crazy Guy? Because the king used to be killed. Or want to be killed in the marketing, in the series. So I don't like that. So nowadays, the crazy guy, I spent all of my fortune. I even robbed all the money from my wife, even borrowed a lot. I spent 2 billion RMB to build a so-called solar wonderland, solar wonderland, solar city in Dezhou, in where I was assigned as a solar engineer, as an oil engineer, and started my business. And also, I spent another 1.1 billion yuan on everything solar R&D, testing. Processing for everything solar cooling, solar heating, solar desalinating, solar power, solar charger, solar cooker, solar tent, solar hat, solar toys, solar everything. Why I'm so crazy? I know I'm my ancestor, my father's father, was a very, very good entrepreneurs in the old days. I learned a lot from them. I know that will make me bankruptcy. Now I'm near bankruptcy. But I feel very proud. I never regret that, because if there is somebody to be sacrificed to the future, to our children, that I'd like to be one of them. So, thank you. But I'm not alone. DC, Sally, Chip, and all of us, all of you, and in these 30 years, I have met with a lot of so-called Guiren, the precious men, the sacred people. How to express in English? The people who gave me a lot of favor to save me when I was dangerous.
Angel,
you are the angel. You are so. You know, we have a very we Chinese have a lot of tale, lot of. Like tale of Greek and Rome, but we have more than 10 of them whole sacrifice to the people, to the nature. So if you are interested, someday I'd like to invite you to visit my solar valley, visit my solar city, visit my country, and to learn. To see to learn that the hero in our history is Kwa Fu seeking the sun for the people, for he actually seeking the sun because the sun is so serious at that time, so hard, so people cannot survive, so. He must talk to the sun. Why are you so cruel? Finally, he was die. But we changed this tale, fairy tale. He was not die. His body changed into the river, changed into the mountain. His blood changed into river. His stick. Change to the forest, and he originally is one of the son of God, God of the sun. Now, the sun was moved by his behavior, his insistence, and the sun tended to be mild, not like before. So nowadays. Not because of the sun, the human being tend to be more to be cruel to the nature, the cruel then feedback to the human being. So we want to be another group of Kwa Fu to seek in the sun, to make full use of that, to change our fortune, to change our future. So that's the story. About our Chinese. And these 10 years, because you know, even half of population use solar, only 1% of substitution rate from conventional energy into solar, 1%. Worldwide, there is 3%, far behind of our goal to make full use of solar to change the whole conventional energy into transit, just like transit conventional energy into solar energy and other renewable energy. So I see, I I was seeking another way 10 years ago. So everything solar everything, even solar toys to make our children aware of our renewable energy and the new style of life. But you know, all this action make me very, very famous, very, very rich. But I still felt guilty because, you know, my commitment 30 years ago was everybody use solar everywhere, all the world, but not. So now, so we are seeking another solution, total solution. For example, in China, now we have 30 years city explosion, which caused a lot of problem, environment problem, along with the people life, the improvement of people's life, and the reach of the whole country. But you know, so next 30 years, that were another big tendency of this countryside explosion. So if to imagine 1.3 billion people get all cars, the big cars, the big house, all of the luxury or the kind of life Western people lead. So big burden to the earth cannot. And another issue is the most developing countries want to lead the same life of Western people, even American people lead. So that's another disaster. So we often quarrel about political situation, political system, which is good, which is bad. But I think we Chinese people can solve a lot of this problem. Even the cities right now, the pollution of the air. You know, when the APEC meeting, there is APEC blow in Beijing. But we want to prolong this APEC blow. We are very confident about that, because we have a strong government and a local government. So nowadays, many local government, the mayor, the head of the government, their priority is cut the emission. Otherwise, they will lose their position. So, you know, you have heard of the bureaucracy and anti-bureaucracy, anti-corruption. So which is very, very efficient. But other developing countries cannot do that. They even cannot solve, I can predict they cannot solve their dirty pond for these 20 years, which Chinese people solve this problem only within 8 years. So the problem is not China itself, it's worldwide. So the way out for us, I think, is for reformation of the Western world, of the cities and the countryside. And for China, the reformation transition from the conventional buildings and lifestyles into green styles. And another future will be the countryside. I think it's maybe a little bit easier for us to start from very beginning, because most of our Chinese people be aware of these things. Finally, I'd like talk about me and the American people. I call this land, every time I'm here, I take this land as the land of my fortune. Thank you. Because I first visited USA is in the year 2000, you know. Then 2005 in Orlando, I was invited as a keynote speaker in the international, in the World Solar Congress there, where I shared my dream of building a solar valley, where which the world, the example of micro emission, the example of solar city and solar town, I call them solar wonderland. So I only share about, I present all the pictures I visualized as my dream. But the organizer to the International Solar Society, they and my colleagues made me vice president of this organization. 5 years later, when they visited my solar valley, all of them showed their surprise, astonishment, marvelous, everything. I said to them, hey, stop. That means you didn't believe me, I could realize my dream. Yeah. They say no, we didn't believe you can realize that. Why you made me vice president? Even you change your bylaw. They deliberately changed the bylaw. First they nominated me first one, then I waited for another nominator. Nothing happened. 3 months later, I was told I was elected. I said, no other nominator, how to be elected? They said they changed by law. If there is no other nominator, the first nominate automatically to be elected. So that I often tell my colleagues the story about that, the power of a dream. But we should realize that dreams is not enough. So I work hard to. Here I found a lot of partners. I talked to Chip that you are an organizer, you are a push. I'm not good at that negotiation. I'm really good at invention, designing, plotting, planning, and the manufacturing, and the testing, quality control, installation, after service, and so on. So I think nowadays we should united, just like when I was a child, I was educated by the Communism Declaration. All the proletarian should united worldwide. So I'd like to express myself to you that all the green people worldwide should united as a big force. So you know, when we talk about industrialization, about first industrialization 100 years ago, now the second one, the third one, no, the fourth one. I think we should change our thinking. Not first, second, third. We should unite all of our power, our wisdom, our resources together to face the challenge of the human being. So the group of Earth is not minority. Before, we are minority. But from now on, we should unite together to make a majority. Thank you. Majority. And yeah, maybe in the dialogue later, we will talk about that. And in the year 2006, I was invited by the UN headquarters as a keynote speaker to 100, more than 100 countries' delegation and several tens of NGOs to give the Chinese solar miracle to share the triple recycling model of renewable energy and the solar industry, solar business. My main point of view is invisible hand. Only for solar and renewable energy and energy saving industry, environment protection industry, we use invisible hand. Our government act too much, overacted, so cause a lot of disaster, financial disaster, industry disaster. So a lot of US government and German government blame the Chinese industry for dumping the PV industry. So I told them that not like that. It is all because of financial crisis 2008 and European debt crisis 2010. No investment, no market. The 50% cut of the market requirement. So that's the main cause of disaster. This disaster is not only for American companies and German companies. You know, 95% of thousands of Chinese PV company bankruptcy, but they not declare their bankruptcy law according to the law. They become sleeping. Okay, so after that, I was nominated by a Nobel, alternative Nobel Peace Prize, Nobel Prize, alternative. So that's all in America, happened in America. Thank you. So I'm very fortunate to meet with your great president, former president Jimmy Carter. I called him the god of our industry. Really, yeah, thank you. He present the very precious item, solar thermal panel on the roof of White House 37 years ago as thirty years ago, and I recited his presentation to the media on the roof of White House. I hope the solar panels can be all over USA, all over worldwide. I do not want. I do not hope someday will be only the item of some museum. I told the great people that some of your prediction come true. That panel will become the item of my China Solar Valley. China Solar Museum. But the solar panels are not all over USA, but all over China. We must be gratitude to you, to all of you. Another, talking about the item of solar museum, I have another one, also from USA, 1940, 35 years old solar panel, older than most of Earth here. I'm seeking another one. I need your help. 104 years old, invented also in USA, 1911. If I had that one, I will have a ceremony for all the pioneers, both in USA, in European country, in China, in all of the world, to have a ceremony for these old pioneers. We are grateful to you, to them, all of them, and we will explore the new future all together to be never the honor of our older generation, to be the honor of our later generations. Thank you.
Once again, you are listening to a live broadcast from the R Day Summit in Snowmass Village. That was Huang Ming speaking on solutions from China. We'll go into an armchair conversation, building the green bridge with China. And this will also feature Huang Ming,
well, I just want to,
Daniel Fung, and Chip Cummins.
First of all, express my deep gratitude and appreciation to Mr. Huang Ming for your life's work and dedication to a clean, low-carbon world.
Thank you. And really,
it's an astounding body of work that you've accomplished. And I'd also like to thank you for your vision and persistence, especially given that you started off as an engineer in the oil industry, and that transition, which is so important. And I just, I think we should give you one more round of applause for that. I also want to thank my vice chairman and esteemed colleague, Daniel Fung, for joining us today. He came all the way from Hong Kong to be here. And that together, I want to initiate a dialogue right now with Daniel and Huang Ming to discuss the green bridge between China and the United States that must be built. And my hope is that we can establish the first pylon right here today in Snowmass Village, and it will take a great coming together of our two countries to solve this problem called climate change. China and the United States together put up about half of the greenhouse gases, and they have about half of the world economy. So I think that when we talk about Paris and we talk about what must happen from today until December this year, that this is a critical issue. So I think if we could start the conversation today with policy between the United States and China. And Huang Ming, perhaps you could comment about your perspective. Where are we? Where are two countries today, people to people, government to government, on this coming together on the implementation at the speed and scale necessary of solar, wind, all the renewables to get the job done?
As I said, I'm a minority. I
always strongly opposed the government interferes with the marketing. So I prefer cooperation with different sectors, especially for different companies. This isn't enough. I think my slogan is learn from IT, learn from automobile industry. There is no automobile convention, international convention. There is no IT international convention between governments like Copenhagen Climate Conference, Rio Sustainable Development Summit. There is no such things, but everybody wants a car, especially for our developing countries. So, everybody has a mobile phone, smart mobile phone. All people of you, all of us will have more than 10 altogether, 10 mobile phones in these 10 years. But how many of you have more than 2 or 3 pure green high-tech products in your family? So that's if we use the marketing, the approach of marketing, pure is enough. Just like 20 years ago, we start from very beginning roadshow, education, marketing, without any subsidized intensive from government, from local and other NGO. We started purely the solar industry, solar marketing. Half of population use solar. That's the power of marketing. So when I met with Merkel, Chancellor Merkel, John Paul, Schwarzenegger, the people who still at that time was in power, I strongly criticized them for that. But more I criticize, more they invite me to talk to them. One time I remember when I met with Merkel, Chancellor Merkel in Beijing, I asked them, in your election, you were opposed to feed-in tariff, just the renewable energy law, German. Why, after your region, you strongly support that, you continue that policies? He told him that she was minority wing. She need support from the Green Party. So afterward, there's a disaster for this PV industry. So the marketing is really important.
Mm-hmm. The market. Daniel, how do you see the market factoring into the evolving policy between the two nations?
I think the market is a very powerful driver of the accord between United States and China, which started within the last 5 years, because there's a big difference between what was going on in the world in 2010 and what will happen in December this year. In December this year, we're going to have the opposite of Copenhagen. In Copenhagen, as you know, both China and India did not send their heads of state or their heads of government to the summit. They sent middle-ranking officials. So it was a failure. There was no political will globally to support the capping of carbon emissions. Within the last 5 years, there was an inflection point. The inflection point arose because both China and India hit a wall. They hit a wall because the limits of growth meant that they could not carry on burning fossil fuel. China, as we all know, if you superimpose a map of China onto a map of the lower 48 states. They're both at roughly the same series of latitudes, and they cover the same landmass. However, China has 1/6 of the arable land, the United States, with 4.5 times the population. China has 1/10 the natural resources of the United States. It's very poorly served in terms of fossil fuel. It has 20% of the world's population, but 3% of the world's fossil fuels. There is no choice but to go green. So it is not an option, it is not a fad, it is not, as it were, luxury, it is absolute necessity. The same goes for India. That realization came within the last 5 years, and that is why Paris, if I were to make a rash prediction, would be a big success compared to Copenhagen, which was a dismal failure. These limits to growth are very real. And that's why we heard yesterday from Kevin Rudd that the inflection for China will be reached when Chinese per capita GDP is roughly $14,000, as opposed to the US inflection point, which will come when US per capita GDP will be 55,000. Big difference. We know that is reality, and reality drives politics. So it's not as if politicians globally suddenly had an epiphany between 2010 and 2015. It is because reality hit them in the face when they got up in the morning one day between 2010 and 2015. And we know the United States and China reached that wall in December 2014, because in December last year, both presidents, Xi Jinping and Barack Obama, reached an agreement whereby by 2030, each country would commit to capping their carbon emissions. But we know also, given that China is a semi-verticalized economy compared to the United States, which is horizontal, that China is likely to overachieve that result. So China is likely to reach that tipping point of capping carbon emissions by 2025. So that's the good news. And we know that, as Chip, you mentioned earlier, nothing really happens in the world unless there's G2 cooperation. It doesn't mean that if there is G2 cooperation, all the world's problems will be solved. But it does mean that without G2 cooperation, it is that much harder to solve anything at all. But we have reached that level of cooperation some 8 months ago. So we are well on the way to Paris. And I think both the United States as well as China are to be congratulated at reaching that level of accord. It's very good news.
My opinion about that is China will be much more easier, much easier than USA. I remember once one of famous American correspondent interviewed me, asked why China, why not American, talking about Jimmy Carter's time, planting maybe more than 1,000 companies made solar thermal, a lot of solar panels on the roof of the USA. But after region time, so all tear down, all down. So when I visited the Solar Thermal Industry Association in US 2000 years in Washington, DC, there are only two people in the association. They remember the good old days, the policy, the strong support from government. But I said to the correspondent Morse that that difference because of the culture, the habit, the lifestyle. You are full plenty of resources, but we are lack of that. So we must go that way. So we are easier to turn green. Mm. So a corporation will meet this gap. Mm.
Yes, you know, thank you both for those comments. And, you know, with President Obama's recent clean power plan, and the fact that the UN GA will happen in the last week of September in New York, and Xi Jinping will be coming, and President Obama will be there, and I think even the Pope will be around somewhere, maybe over in Connecticut. But anyway, the powers that be are assembling, and everybody's looking to Paris for this critical moment in time where 2015 becomes the transition point for the world. And I think China and the US are absolutely destined to lead this transition. So I would like to just conclude, because we're running out of time here, with some comments about how you see, as President Obama is leaving office next year, and Xi Jinping will be remaining in power, we'll have a new US president in November of 2016. Do you think, Wang Ming, Daniel Fung, do you think that the U.S. and China can accomplish what is needed now?
Well, I think the fact that the U.S. presidential cycle and the Chinese presidential cycle are, as it were, out of sync, as you mentioned, Chip, that as President Obama completes his 2 years, two terms, of office, Xi Jinping is just going in to the end of the first term of his office. So he'll be around for at least another 7 years beyond President Obama's leaving of office. So that, as it were, asynchronicity in the two sets of presidential terms means there's the continuity. There's not going to be a big break after these two leave office. So whoever comes in and becomes president of the United States as elected at the end of 2016 and takes office in January 2017 will be left with, obviously, the legacy of President Obama. He or she will be left with the legacy of Paris and, of course, the accord in December 2014. Therefore, combined with reality that both presidents face in their own countries and both presidents face globally in terms of environmental, ecological, carbon challenges, we're likely to see a renewed effort to meet the accords reached in Paris. Mm.
Thank you.
The main problem of Earth are always relying on the government negotiation, government too much. So my point of view still is that we government have been do enough, more than enough. So just like yesterday we talked about, we raised a campaign, we organized, we unite a lot of companies to find a business model, find a big solution, and to find our own position, then unite together, then cooperate with the government, with the public, then we will have future. Otherwise, just like 2000 years, in the year 2000, I met with two of my colleagues in USA. All they blamed two kind of people, one is bankers, another is governments. So if Obama or President Xi Jinping do not want to be blamed too much, so leave us something to do. Thank you.
The final word. Again, I'd like to thank my esteemed colleagues, Wang Ming, Daniel Fung, for their leadership in creating this green bridge with the USA and China. Let it begin here now. It's happening everywhere in the country, but especially right now today, and going forward with an eye towards a solution and going from competition to collaboration. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, panelists. Just a quick announcement that Wang Min's company has a table in the other room.